Hello, and welcome to the We Are the Medicine podcast. This podcast is a place where we discuss a wide variety of topics, from psychedelics and other plant medicines to sovereignty and spirituality. This is a space where we have raw and vulnerable conversations and explore the mysteries of our universe with the intention of empowering listeners and guiding you to ask the questions that will help you come into a deeper resonance with your truest essence. I'm your host, Serena Rose. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, medicine family, and welcome back to another episode of the We Are the Medicine podcast. Today I'm here to talk about something that I am really excited to talk about, and it feels like a fire that has been lit within me. And really, to me, it's all about returning to the old ways, returning to nature, returning to the ways of our ancestors, but also in a modern way, because there's a lot of things that have changed in our world compared to the world that our ancestors lived in. And I have just felt this call to really shift the way that I live my life. And if you listened to the last episode with Akasha, then you heard me speak on this a little bit. And the last few years, especially around the holidays, I have felt this lack of resonance, which is really interesting because I, as a child and when I was younger, I used to always love celebrating the holidays and, you know, especially Christmas. It's such a magical time. But the last few years, there's just this part of me that feels like I don't fully resonate with this anymore. So I've really been examining that and just trying to see how I can live my life in a way that feels more resonant with the truth of who I am and who I want to be. So today, I really want to talk about the pagan origins of Christmas. And in order for me to do this, I feel that it's important for me to first go into what does the word pagan mean? This is a word that may be triggering for some. I know for me, it's a word that I have felt resistance towards, and I have come to realize a lot of that is simply programming. Programming that a lot of us carry that comes from Christianity and the demonization of nature-based religions. And so what does the word pagan even mean? The word pagan simply means a person of non-Christian or non-Jewish faith. And if you go into the etymology of the word pagan, it comes from the Latin word paganus or pagus, which simply means villager, country people, or people who live in rural areas, people who do not live in the city. And I think when we go into that, it's very telling because this is a word that I think some people may automatically demonize or look at as something bad or dark or negative, or it's witchcraft or all of that. And even the word witch and witchcraft obviously has a lot of dark history. And so I would really just like to invite all of you to join me on this journey of deprogramming from these religious ideologies that we have, a lot of us have been programmed with. And that is also not to demonize Christianity in any way. And as we go into this conversation about Christmas and all of this, I want to make it very clear that I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with Christianity. Actually, the basis and the origin of Christianity is incredibly beautiful. And really, for me, the problem is when Christianity has been used to control and to have power over people, and it has been used as a mechanism of war and a reason to kill, murder, rape thousands of people all over the world and force them to convert to Christianity in order to control them. And that is where I have the problem. I think Christianity in itself is a beautiful thing. I think the teachings of Yeshua or Jesus are something that every single one of us can benefit from and learn from, especially in this day and age. And I personally work with Christian deities. I work with Yeshua. I work with Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene and Archangel Michael. I work with these beings in my day-to-day life. So my intention with this podcast is not to demonize Christianity or to talk down on it, because like I said, the truth that lies within the realm of Christianity is potent and it's powerful and it's filled with light. But this is also a religion that has been used for incredible darkness, which I think is actually one of the most disgusting and evil and deplorable things that that anyone could possibly do, is to take something that carries such truth and to manipulate it and to use it for your own benefit and to harm others. And I think it really is one of the darkest things that a person can do, is to use spirituality and someone's connection to the divine to manipulate and control and abuse people. And that goes for any form of spirituality. Obviously, Christianity is not the only example of this, but I think we can all agree that it is the largest example, because Christianity has gone and colonized all over the world. So no, paganism is not evil. Paganism is not demonic. It's not the devil. It is simply just not Christian or Jewish. And it's important to acknowledge that all of our ancestors at one point in time had a deep connection to the earth, because they knew that our connection to the earth and to nature and to the elements is an absolute necessity. It is not an option. It is a necessity, not only for our survival, but in order for us to truly thrive. So I have been feeling this call to shift the way that I live into a way that is more in alignment with the cycles of nature, and to live in a way that truly honors the earth and my ancestors, and to be a person who has a deep connection to spirit, and to bring back some of these rituals and traditions of my ancestors to help me reclaim that connection to the earth, because it is something that many of us have lost. So especially when it comes to the holidays, something that I've been pondering on is the way that I feel like nowadays in our Western American culture, we've lost the purpose in a way of what holidays are supposed to be and what these celebrations are supposed to be. And I think maybe some people, you know, of course, it's spending time with family, it's eating good food and enjoying yourself and all of that, but I think that a lot of it has become based around consumerism. And I think that the general population, what most people do on these holidays like Christmas and Thanksgiving and these things, is go and eat a bunch of food and get drunk and watch a football game and all of that. And I'm also not saying that any of that is inherently wrong, but I just feel like we've lost the meaning and the purpose behind what are we even celebrating. You know, like if you listen to the last podcast, we talked about Thanksgiving, and I was saying I don't think that most people who celebrate Thanksgiving are thinking about the pilgrims and the Native Americans. Like, it's become something different. And even with Christmas, although I'm sure there's a lot of people who still will go to church and, you know, honor Jesus in this time, I think a lot of people really don't, like, even think about that, to be honest. And that's just from my own personal experience and, like, the people that I've been around and, you know, family and all of these things. Like, it's become something else. And I think that sitting down and enjoying a good meal and, like, spending time with family, that is beautiful. And that is actually, like, a big part of what it should be about. So I'm not saying that we should let that go, because that is an important aspect of it. But I just feel that for myself, I am seeking something deeper. I'm seeking a deeper connection to myself, to the earth, and to the people around me. And so my intention with this podcast is to share some of the history of the origins of the Christmas holiday, and also some ways that you can bring these old ancient traditions into the way that you currently celebrate. So I'm not suggesting that anybody goes and just changes everything about the way that they celebrate. If that's what you want to do and you feel called to do that, that is beautiful, and honor yourself in that. But you can very easily incorporate many of the ancient traditions into the way that you currently celebrate, especially because a lot of the current traditions actually come from those ancient origins. We just don't know what they represent anymore, or the meaning of them has been changed. So that is what I want to do today, is I want to share with you all, what is the meaning of these things? What is the meaning of the Christmas tree, or the mistletoe, or the boughs of holly, or the Yule log? Where do these things come from, and what are they designed to represent? And how did the people of ancient times, particularly I'm going to be speaking about in Europe, how did they honor this time of year around the winter solstice? If you've listened to this podcast before, then you've probably heard me talk about four visions. And that's because I have so much love and respect for four visions and their mission and the beautiful things that they are doing in this world to support the indigenous people of the Amazon. Not to mention, they have some really great products as well. Four Visions is an online marketplace with an incredible selection of tools and medicines to help you advance your spiritual practice. They are your trusted provider for ethically sourced Amazonian botanicals and ceremonial tools. They have a beautiful selection of medicines and botanicals to enhance your spiritual practice, from hape, sacred smoke medicines, ceremonial cacao, sananga, and they now have their Rainforest Herbal Apothecary, which includes botanical tinctures like their yahe microdose tincture, and it also includes an amazing variety of rare Amazonian plants in their raw form, so that you have the opportunity to connect with these beautiful, healing medicinal plants in an even deeper way. I am so grateful to be continuing this partnership with Four Visions, because I really appreciate and respect their mission and their commitment to supporting indigenous communities. Through their Beyond Fair Trade model, they are supporting and nourishing the dreams and goals of indigenous people with a commitment to sacred reciprocity and walking in right relation. If you're interested in checking out Four Visions, click the link in the show notes, and you can also use my new code SERENAROSE15, that is SERENAROSE15, for 15% off your order. Thank you so much to Four Visions for supporting this podcast, and now we'll get back into the episode. So there is a lot to unpack here, and there's a lot that I'm not going to be able to unpack because it is a very deep history, and I don't want to make this podcast too long, so I'm going to do my best, but I have done quite a bit of research leading up to this, and as I've been doing my research, I've also felt this, I've felt a lot of grief and a lot of anger coming up in relation to the way that the culture of my ancestors was destroyed. And it's been really interesting, especially as someone who, like I said, always loved Christmas and always like enjoyed, it was always one of my favorite holidays. And lately I've been finding myself feeling angry when I see Christmas commercials, or just how gimmicky it all is and how all of these elements come from these pagan origins of honoring the cycles of nature, and yet Christmas is all about consumerism. It's left me with a lot of grief and a lot of anger to unpack, because so much wisdom has been lost. And when I say lost, I don't mean totally lost, because it's within all of us. And there are still cultures and indigenous people around the world who have maintained their historical traditions and have that memory, which is really beautiful. And there is currently a huge reclamation of these ancient ways that is happening. And I think it's also important to say that we live in a modern society. And so there are many things that our ancestors may have done that we wouldn't do in this day and age. And that's okay. So I think it's all about just finding a way to bring these traditions into the way that we already live our lives. I'm not suggesting that we all go back to hunter-gatherer living or doing animal sacrifices or human sacrifices, because those are very real elements of the way that some of our ancestors lived. And I think we obviously just have to adapt to our modern day. So instead of doing animal sacrifices, we can just give offerings of food and drink and herbs and whatever it is you feel called to offer. And yeah, we living in a different time, okay? And that's okay. And this is just about adapting and bringing back this ancient wisdom, but infusing it with our modern culture. So first I'm going to go into a little bit of the history around how Christmas itself began, and then we're going to go back in time to examine the pagan traditions that preceded that, and which of those traditions have been infused with the Christmas that we all know today. So long ago, Christianity was actually an underground movement where people often prayed in secrecy and hid their beliefs until the 4th century, when Roman Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity. Then in 380 CE, Emperor Theodosius made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire and began banning all other spiritual practices. So early Christian texts don't actually mention Jesus' birthday, and in order to attempt to assimilate pagan traditions into Christianity, December 25th was set as Jesus' birthday, and Christmas was brought forth as an alternative to pagan traditions. And the Christians who were in power at the time knew that they wouldn't be able to force everyone to convert to Christianity. So they took elements of the pagan traditions that already existed, and they slowly began to change the meaning of these things to align with Christian ideology. This was a way to try to convince people to convert to Christianity. And though they allowed some of these pagan traditions to continue on and incorporated some of them into their Christmas holiday, anyone who was seen as too radical or too unwilling to make this shift to Christianity was killed or imprisoned or tortured or God knows what. So many of the pagans in these times had traditions of honoring the solstices and the equinoxes. Because they had this deeper connection with nature, they understood the importance of these cycles of nature. And so they would have festivals and celebrations where they would come together and do rituals and pray and feast and enjoy and honor these cycles of nature and these different seasons of the year. So this is why the date of Christmas was placed right around the winter solstice. It actually has nothing to do with Jesus' birthday, which I think most of us know by now. And it was just because the pagan people were already having celebrations around this time. So we're going to start to uncover some of these ancient pagan traditions, and you'll see some common threads throughout these different regions, but they do also have their own unique stories and traditions as well. And some of the main commonalities that you'll see throughout these traditions is that the winter solstice was a time of honoring the sun. You also have to think about the way that our ancestors lived, especially in Europe, in Northern Europe, where my Norwegian ancestors are from. It was very, very cold and very dark, and it was harsh conditions to live in. You know, they didn't have modern technology, and they didn't have electricity to keep them warm throughout the winters, so they had to rely on each other, and they had to rely on nature in order to persevere through the harsh dark of winter. And the winter solstice was really meant to be a celebration of the return of the sun. The winter solstice is the darkest day of the year, but after the winter solstice, the days start getting longer, the sun starts coming back out, it slowly starts getting warmer, and we go into spring and summer. And so it was really an honoring and a celebration of the sun and the life that the sun gives us, and it was a celebration of the light persevering throughout the darkness of winter. And the elements of fire was also really important during this time because the sun represents fire, but also it was common for people to light fires or candles to provide warmth and light, but also to give them hope and strength in order to survive through the harsh, cold conditions of the winter. So a lot of these traditions stem from our ancestors relying on these elements of nature for their survival. And so they would look to nature and they would learn from nature and they would draw strength from these different elements. And another aspect of that is the evergreen trees, you know, Christmas trees. These evergreen trees like fir and pine trees symbolize resilience because they are able to survive throughout the harsh conditions of winter. So this is one way that our ancestors would learn from nature. They would observe nature and its ability to be resilient and to sustain itself and to survive throughout the winter. And they would bring in different elements like fir, pine, and holly decorations. They would bring these elements into their homes to represent that life sustaining throughout the dark of winter. So they would draw strength from nature in this way. And they also saw these trees as protectors that could help them to ward off evil spirits. Holly, especially, was seen as a source of protection because it has prickly leaves, so they saw this as a way to ward off negative energy or dark spirits. And when Christianity took over, this is one of the elements that they changed. They changed the Christmas tree to represent the life of Christ, and they took the boughs of holly because holly has red berries, they took this to represent the blood of Christ. So these are just a couple examples of the way that the Christian church took elements of these pagan traditions and tried to make them Christian in order to appeal to the pagan people of that time and hope to allure them and convince them to convert to Christianity. Not that they had much of a choice, because like I said, pretty much if you didn't agree to convert to Christianity, they were gonna kill you. If you can't tell, I'm still a little salty. I can feel the anger of my ancestors. But at the same time, I think, like I said earlier in the podcast, it's important to understand that it is not Christianity that is the problem. It is people who wanted more power, and they used Christianity as the vessel for that. So another important aspect of these winter solstice traditions was spending quality time with loved ones and family. And like I said, they really had to rely on each other for survival as well and for strength, because that's all they had was each other and nature. And I think we could really use some more of that mentality in today's day and age, because it seems like our modern society is doing everything it can to disconnect us from each other and to disconnect us from nature. So I find that really interesting, the more I think about it, that our ancestors understood that if they didn't have their family or the people in their community or their connection to nature, they knew they could not survive. And I think that's a very important note for the times that we are living in. And they also didn't have modern technology like TVs or cell phones to distract them. All they had was each other. And so they would sit around a fire or sit around the dinner table and have a feast and drink wine or drink mead and tell stories and connect with each other, because that's all they had. They didn't have all of these external distractions, so they had to rely on each other for survival and for entertainment. So now I just quickly want to share some of the specific traditions of the different regions, and I'm going to start with the Celtic traditions. What's up, family? I want to talk to y'all real quick about one of my favorite online shops for herbal remedies, Valadia Organica. Valadia Organica is a small, family-owned business that is dedicated to redefining wellness through the power of nature. Their mission is to formulate and create exceptional herbal wellness products with a special focus on healing the reproductive system and restoring vitality to the body. Each product is meticulously crafted to harmonize with your body's natural rhythms, promoting true vitality from the inside out. Valadia's Balance Back tincture works miracles for UTIs, yeast infections, and balancing the gut microbiome. The Spirit Soother tincture is the medicine for you if you're dealing with any kind of stress, burnout, or just feeling generally depleted and in need of some support. Their online shop also includes products like Reproductive Remedy and Hormone Helper to help balance your hormones and provide support with fertility, PMS, and menopause. They also have the Respiratory Rescue Tincture, which is an absolute must-have for cold and flu season or if you're feeling under the weather. It's made with an herb called mullein, which is incredibly effective for alleviating coughing, congestion, asthma, bronchitis, and other respiratory issues while also working to soothe the lungs and help to reduce mucus. With a deep commitment to purity, potency, and sustainability, Valadia Organica ensures that every formula is crafted with love and intention to bring you the healing you desire. I have been following Valadia's journey on YouTube for many years, and her products have seriously helped me so much, so I'm incredibly grateful to be partnered with Valadia's company, and I hope that you will go and check out her shop. So go ahead and click the link in the show notes to check it out, support a small business, and get some amazing herbal remedies to support you along your healing journey. And now, back to the episode. The Celtic winter solstice tradition is called Alban Arthan. I know I didn't pronounce that right. I'm not going to pronounce a lot of things right today, so just please forgive me. So Alban Arthan means the light of winter, part of the Druidic wheel of the year, and it represents the rebirth of the sun after the longest night, marking the victory of light over darkness. They also have a mythological story of the Oak King and the Holly King, where the Oak King, who represents light, and the Holly King, who represents darkness, battle for supremacy at the solstices. At the winter solstice, the Oak King triumphs, bringing longer days. Mistletoe is also part of the Celtic traditions. It was sacred to the Druids. Mistletoe symbolized fertility and protection. So the modern-day practice of kissing under the mistletoe likely stems from Celtic fertility rituals. The people of these pre-Christian Germanic tribes also had a tradition called wassailing. There was a bowl traditionally filled with a hot mulled punch, often made of cider, ale, spices, and honey. During the wassailing festivities, participants would pass the bowl around, drinking and toasting to each other's health. They would also go from house to house, singing songs and offering a drink from the wassail bowl in exchange for gifts. This practice has evolved into the modern-day Christmas caroling. And then we have the traditions of my Viking ancestors, the Nordic tradition of Yule, which is a major pagan festival that coincided with the winter solstice. Yule marked the rebirth of the sun god Baldur and the renewal of life. The ancient Norse people would often light a Yule log to bring in that light and that fire, and also to honor the god Thor, the god of thunder and protector of the earth. They brought in trees and boughs of fir, pine, and spruce indoors to symbolize eternal life. And they would also feast on boar, goat, and mead, celebrating prosperity and enjoying time with loved ones. And they also have a fascinating mythological tradition that has heavily influenced the modern-day Santa Claus, and it's known as the Wild Hunt. The Wild Hunt is a spectral procession of gods, spirits, and the dead that roams the skies during the darkest and stormiest nights of winter, particularly around the solstice. The hunt is led by Odin, who is the Allfather in Norse mythology, known for his wisdom. He's often depicted as a bearded man wearing a wide-brimmed hat and a long cloak, which is oddly similar to the resemblance of the later Santa Claus. The hunt consists of gods, fallen warriors, spirits of the dead, and occasionally mythical beasts. The Wild Hunt was tied to the midwinter period, symbolizing chaos, transformation, and the thinning of the veil between the living and the dead. Hearing or seeing the wild hunt was considered a bad omen, often signaling death or misfortune. However, leaving offerings for Odin could ensure protection and even blessings. It also seems that Santa Claus's 8 reindeer, later 9 with the addition of Rudolph, was inspired by Odin's 8-legged horse, Sleipnir, who could travel across the sky and even between realms. The offerings to Odin could also be connected to the practice of leaving out cookies and milk for Santa Claus. And during the wild hunt, Odin observed the deeds of mortals and decided their fates, which is pretty similar to the way that Santa Claus decides if children are naughty or nice, and ultimately decides whether or not they get Christmas gifts or coal in their stocking. And while the wild hunt could be fearsome, Odin also protected his followers and brought gifts of wisdom and inspiration. The dual nature of protection and gift-giving parallels Santa's benevolent nature. Nordic folklore also includes the Nisse, or household spirits, and Jolnir, Odin's Yule persona. These figures probably also influence the concept of Christmas elves and Santa Claus. Then we also have the Roman tradition of Saturnalia, which is a week-long festival dedicated to Saturn, the god of agriculture, where people would often give gifts and decorate their homes with greenery. They would have public feasts and games, and this was a time of year that they actually allowed slaves to participate in these celebrations, and they were treated as equals during this time. And, you know, they just would casually end it with some human sacrifice at the end. No big deal, you know? let's move on. Then we have the Slavic Koliada, which is a winter solstice festival celebrated with songs, bonfires, and feasting. The word Koliada is linked to the term caroling. Themes of light and rebirth are central to this tradition. We also have the Germanic Rauhnacht. Y'all, I know I am butchering these words. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I don't want to be offensive. I'm sorry. So this Germanic tradition is known as the 12 Nights. Spanning from December 25th to January 6th, this period was believed to be a time when spirits roamed freely. Customs included cleansing their homes, burning incense, and divination. We also have the Persian Yalda, the longest night of the year, which was celebrated with pomegranates, nuts, and storytelling. This was a festival of renewal and light, honoring the birth of Mithra, the sun god. And there are many other ancient indigenous traditions throughout the world who have celebrated the winter solstice in their own ways, but I just wanted to share a few of them here to give you an idea of the way that the ancient ones honored this time of year, and to hopefully give you some inspiration on how you can honor this time of year yourself in your own modern way. And that brings me to the very exciting aspect of this, which is how can we bring some of this into our modern day life? And the cool thing about Christmas is, like I said, half of the damn traditions already come from these pagan origins, so it's not really too hard to bring some of these elements in. All we have to do is shift our perspective around it. So I have been shifting my perspective a lot, and one of the things that I am prioritizing this year is I am bringing in natural, fresh decorations instead of these plastic ones that we get from the store. And don't get me wrong, just last year I was talking all this shit about how I was so pro plastic Christmas tree because I felt like with the plastic one, I can just buy it and I can reuse it every year. It's great. But now I have this understanding of what it actually is supposed to represent, which is the life sustaining throughout winter. So it kind of almost defeats the purpose for me to have a plastic Christmas tree. But, you know, you do you. It's okay. Just do your best, like I said. So one thing that I have already done is I went to Home Depot and I got some fresh cedar, because that's what I had around me. So I would definitely recommend going to a garden store or a garden center, like, I don't know, wherever you live. If you're in the United States, Home Depot has some really good, fresh Christmas-like decorations. And so I bought some fresh cedar and I've put it around my house. And I also plan to make my own holiday wreath with some dried oranges and cranberries and some of that fresh cedar as well. Lighting candles is a big one that's super easy that we can all do. Maybe lighting a candle every night to honor that fire and the light that sustains through the darkness. I think it's just about getting back to nature. And so for me, that means getting a little more crafty and making these homemade decorations myself and lighting a candle and speaking to my ancestors and honoring the spirits that are more present in these times and making it less about just buying more things. Like, I don't need to just buy and buy more plastic decorations. I can make them myself, and then they have this beautiful meaning that I now have given to it. Because otherwise, they're just decorations that look pretty. And that's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like for me, like I said, I've been seeking that deeper meaning and deeper connection. So I can create these beautiful things that look pretty, but also have meaning. And when I look at them, I can think of that meaning. So maybe for you, that looks like creating a Yule altar and you put some candles and some fresh greenery and seasonal fruits like pomegranates or oranges or cranberries representing abundance. You could do a ritual where you light a candle on the winter solstice and you pray and meditate and set intentions as you focus on that candle flame and bringing in more light and honoring that element of fire. Most of us already have a feast, so incorporating that and maybe doing it without the technology, maybe having phones off and TVs off and let's tell stories or let's just talk to each other, let's play games or things like that. I feel like that's a really good way to honor this time of year, and it's probably something that most of you already do. So it's perfect. That's why I think this time of year is so easy to incorporate some of these ancient pagan traditions because we already do so many of them. But really, for me, it's just about bringing that purpose and bringing that meaning and that honoring back to these traditions. You can reflect on what you'd like to release, as winter is a time for releasing and letting go so that we can plant new seeds in the spring. This is a beautiful way to honor this time of year, and I think in a lot of ways it's something that we already do with the new year and everything, although the real, like, nature's new year isn't until the spring, isn't really until March. So I personally like to look at winter as a time of release, as a time of rest, as a time of processing. And then when the spring comes, then I focus more on planting new seeds and starting new projects. Whereas winter for me is more of a time of rest and reflection and letting go of what doesn't serve me so that I can be more of myself and more aligned in the new year, which really doesn't start until spring. So don't put too much pressure on yourself to fix your life as soon as January 1st comes, because we are technically still in winter and it's okay. We are kind of not designed to be hustling and doing all these things like in the dead of winter. So if you feel yourself not really wanting to do all of these hustle culture things as soon as January comes and just fix your whole life, then it's okay. Just honor that and plant those new seeds when the spring comes. So there's all sorts of different rituals that you can do during this time to release what no longer serves, to prepare you for what is coming in the spring, and to honor the sun and to honor the light and to know that the light will always persevere through the darkness. Spring will always come again and the sun will always return. So this is the fun part, because you can really make it your own and we can create these new traditions that we can pass on to our children and that can evolve over the generations. You can use cleansing smokes like sage or cedar or rosemary to cleanse your home, cleanse your space, release any stagnant or negative energy that is not serving you. You can take cleansing baths. I would also definitely recommend just to bring in that element of fire, because that's such a big part of this is the fire. So even doing a fire ritual where you write down all the things you want to release and you burn it in the fire, the possibilities are really endless. And this is so beautiful because you can really make it your own. And I'm personally so excited to create these new traditions and to honor my ancestors and to honor the earth and to bring these ancient ways into this modern life and to be able to pass that on to my future children. It feels so important. It might seem small, but it feels really important to me, and that's also why I've been really looking forward to recording this podcast. So I hope that you're getting some good ideas, because this feels important. This feels like a return home to ourselves and return back to the way we are meant to live in many ways. And like I said, it's not going to be the exact same way that our ancestors did it, because they lived very different lives than we do. But we can bring a lot of these elements into our traditions that we already have and into our day-to-day life. One of those is gift giving. So gift giving was also a very important part of the ancient pagan traditions, and a way that we can bring that into our current Christmas or holiday traditions is giving gifts, but in a more intentional way, maybe making gifts handmade yourself, and doing it that way can be a really special way, or at least giving with more purpose and intention and not just to have more stuff. I think that my ultimate dream for like a winter solstice celebration would be to have all of my friends come over and have a bonfire and pray and sing around the fire and give offerings of tobacco and herbs and food and sing and drum and play music together and have a feast and tell stories and honor ourselves, honor our ancestors, honor the earth in these ways. I just feel like that is what my soul is calling for, and so that is what I'm working to create in my life. And I hope that this podcast could be an inspiration to all of you to bring some of these natural elements and these ancestral elements into your current holiday traditions and to do it in your own way. But just to be in that frequency of love, to honor the sun, to honor the light, to honor the fire, to honor our ancestors, and to bring back some of these ancient ways into our modern world. That is my prayer, and I really hope that this podcast could help you in doing that. And I just want to send so much love and gratitude to all of you who have listened to this podcast this year, or just today, or ever. Like, thank you so much. It is such an honor to have my voice be heard. And if this podcast has been helpful or supportive to even one person, then I know I'm doing a good job. And it really means a lot to me, just as we close out this calendar year, to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this community that I'm building. It really means so much to me. And I really want this podcast to be a pillar in what I feel is a movement that is happening, a spiritual revolution, where we are reclaiming our spiritual nature, where we are reclaiming our rights to the earth and our connection to the earth and our honoring of the earth, where we are reclaiming the knowledge and the wisdom of our ancestors that has been hidden, that is being uncovered, that is opening up in all of us. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a part of this movement, because if you are listening to this podcast, you are also a part of this movement, because you feel it. I know you do. Because I feel it, and I know I'm not crazy. And I can't say enough how grateful I am. And I pray that through conversations like this, and through the medicine that is coming through all of us, the unique medicine that each and every one of us has, and the lifting of all of our vibrations and our energy, I pray that this can bring about the spiritual revolution that this world needs, and that all humans can come back home to the truth of who we are, and that we can love one another, and that we can honor one another, and that we can see each other for what we truly are, which is children of the earth, brothers and sisters, every single one of us carrying divine energy and a purpose here on this earth. So may we honor that this holiday season. May we honor ourselves, may we honor each other, may we honor our ancestors, and may we honor the earth. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope it could inspire you and support you And I pray that you have the most beautiful holiday season and winter solstice. And I will see you in 2025. Much love, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, it would really help me out if you could leave me a nice review, letting me know how you like the podcast so far. Thank you so much and stay blessed.